Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 520, Train Wrecked, recorded live on December 20th, 2015. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
I'm your other host, Toss.
And it's me, Godzilla T.
Yay. Welcome to episode 520. What would have been, if we kept up for every single week, our 10-year anniversary show. But we had that for episode 500, so now we're finally at 520. So pretty cool milestone there. Not nearly as significant as our 10-year anniversary, but still pretty cool nonetheless. We have a special guest with us tonight to help us talk about some more controversial Halo topics, as we'll probably continue to talk about for the next few weeks. But we have Lurker Zero on the show. Welcome to Podtacular, dude.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me, man.
Not a problem. Got lots of Halo news to talk about, lots of stuff that we're going to be catching up on since we didn't really talk about the campaign or multiplayer last week. We're going to pick up on that again and talk about some of the other stuff. And we have a topic that's, again, kind of going down the controversial route. But first of all, since Lurker is kind of new here, what we like to do with all of our guests who join the show for the first time is tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got involved with the Halo community, and what it is you do within Halo.
Yeah, for sure. My channel is basically just like gameplay commentaries, all pretty much centered around Halo. I've thrown in a few games here or there, but mostly it's been all Halo for the past couple of years. I played Halo in high school, some CE stuff, just kind of the regular playing at people's apartments and stuff like that. And I didn't really get back into the series until, oddly enough, Halo Reach, which is where a lot of people kind of dropped off. But I fell in love with it, and I've kind of been carrying it forward since then.
Cool. Sounds awesome. So what kind of stuff do you commentate on for your videos on? I guess it's a YouTube channel? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I have a YouTube channel. Just Halo commentaries. I would say I focus on insightful Halo commentaries about whatever topics I feel like doing. I mean, a lot of times I relate it back to real life. So like an example of like a real life situation or something like that that fits into Halo or that Halo kind of relates to. I mean, just whatever wacky topic I have in my head kind of ends up in a video, and I try to put my own spin on it and do some storytelling with it.
Okay, very nice. And how long have you been doing that?
I think my channel's kind of crossing the 2-year mark here pretty soon. I don't really keep track.
Okay.
Yeah, I just make videos as I go, man. Yeah, try to stick to once a week, but with the holidays and stuff, I haven't uploaded in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I can definitely feel that pain. We took off Thanksgiving, and we're probably going to take a couple weeks off here for Christmas and New Year's, so can definitely understand that.
Chris Spartan says coffee shop commentaries in the chat there.
Coffee shop commentary.
Yeah, that's what I specialize in, coffee shop commentaries.
What would you define as a coffee shop commentary?
Oh, it's just like I worked
like
at a coffee
off the
shop
cuff
for,
or?
Yeah, just kind of like I worked at a coffee shop for several years, so I think I did a commentary one time about like that whole hilarious antics that I've had working in a coffee shop before.
Okay. Interesting. I guess you got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and take, well, thanks again, Lurker, for introducing yourself. Thank you for being on the show. Going to go ahead and jump into some news here for those who did not hear the news from our last podcast, which we actually didn't do live. We did it after the Game Awards. So we actually just did that one kind of off the air since it was late and we were tired. But we talked about the Cartographer's Gift. They gave us a little sneak peek at what we were going to see. They had a little trailer that went with it, which unveiled two new maps, one Warzone map and one arena map, which the arena map Overgrowth looks really cool. I'm really excited for that map, and it has kind of a similar color palette and textures and feel from what was it in Halo 3, Ghost Town, which I really loved Ghost Town, so I'm really excited about that map.
Yeah, and it's a remix of Plaza.
Yeah, which Plaza is a lot of fun to play on, too.
Yeah.
For me, personally. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then the new Warzone map, Battle of Noctis. I think it's just going to be awesome to have a new play space to play on. Not to say that the ones that we currently have aren't good. It's just that it's going to be nice to have something that's fresh.
It's good to have a new place to explore.
Yep.
Battle of Noctis reminds me of Terminal quite a bit. Just like from the footage and screenshots we've seen, it looks so much like Terminal to me.
Yeah. That kind of like inner city.
Like future pub. City vibe. Yeah. Yeah, it looks really cool.
And Pins is now subscribed 3 months in a row for our Twitch channel. So thank you, Pins.
Got that little notification.
So yeah, I can definitely see the Terminal. It's kind of like that Earth City feel. It'd be cool to actually see a train back in Halo 5. You know, even if it was just like a Forge Objects or Uni, if you're still in here, which I think you are, put that over to the to Kevin Franklin and the Warzone team. Have them put a train in somewhere.
Yeah, just need a monorail. Gotta have it. Gotta
a freight train that's derailed and going down the streets and just takes out Spartans randomly. That'd be awesome.
You gotta put something real sexy on the train tracks, though, like the sword was last time. It's gotta be like the Spanker rocket or something.
Yeah.
So, Team Fortress 2 has a map, and I think it's called Well, but that has a train that goes straight through a capture point in Team Fortress 2. Why can't they do that with a Warzone map? To have the center base where there's just a train that randomly comes through. And that, I mean, that would make capturing the middle base so hilarious.
I can see so many ragdolls.
Oh, dude, the clips that you would get from that would be hilarious. Like, you would have a Warthog coming, like if it was a base that you could drive a Warthog in or something, you would have a Warthog coming in and then you just have a train that just comes in and the Warthog explodes. That'd be so much fun. We need those kind of interactive elements back in Halo, I think. It makes the game more fun.
It's pretty funny, too, when you get taken out by something like that.
Ugh,
it's like, how does that happen?
If you want to see Halo 5 fails, that would probably account for 15%, 20% of fails if that were to happen. So that'd be totally cool.
Forgeable trains.
Dude,
ooh.
Like have a track, like actually be able to build the track and direct the train. That would be awesome. And then have a switch that activates the train.
That's a whole nother level. That's a whole nother rec card. Forgeable trains.
Forgeable
trains. A rec card for that. Oh my gosh. That'd be stretching it.
Yeah.
So like if someone's taking over the base, you just call on a red card that's a train. It just goes my God. Through the center of the map. Oh, that would be ridiculous. It'd be hilarious, but it would be ridiculous nonetheless.
Ultra rare trains.
So that went in a very interesting direction.
If that doesn't get people buying rec packs, I don't know what will.
I know, right? Get your exclusive train rec pack.
You know, heck, if they do that with rec pack, I would buy them.
National Train Day. You have 24 hours.
They just need a emblem now that's just a train. Pin says bullet train or steam locomotive. It'd be bullet train. Come on.
Bullet train easily.
It's 2558 now.
I don't know. There's something great about a steam train, though.
In the 26th century? Come on.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
They have like marines shoveling coal onto the back of the train. This is what happens when you get me on a podcast. I just take it in ridiculous directions. I hope you guys know that.
They're in trouble.
I think I know what the title of this podcast is going to be. So, yeah. Glad we got that out of the way.
People are going to look at the title and go cross-eyed. Huh?
We got some eyes perked up for the title that we had on the last one. It'd be interesting to see what would happen with this one when we say, like, train or whatever.
Now it has to be train Rex, but spelled R-E-Q.
Dude, yes. Yes. Okay, done. Title decided. Thank you. We're done. Podcast is over.
No, bring gold to the table here.
Podcast all done. We got the name.
You enjoyed the show.
Yeah. For all but 12 minutes that we recorded. But yeah, that'd be cool.
Exactly. They're discussing real issues.
Yeah. The real hard issues. Where's the train,
man? Screw social. Where's the train?
Yeah.
Yeah. But aside from those two maps, we have two Forge maps that are coming. Arena. They're going to be arena maps. I think they're both
the arena team big maps. Teams.
One is Antifreeze from, my guess might be Warholic because we haven't seen a map from him yet. And the other map is Entombed, which we know is Duquesne's map because he said so, and it's a remake of Burial Mounds.
Yeah. I'm excited for both of those. I enjoy some big team battle. Master Chief
Collection. Look at that one.
But like we said, you know, I really do hope we get some big team maps that aren't forged, but I kind of don't feel like that's what we're going to be seeing.
I hope we get some further down the road because it definitely needs to be that way. As far as the wreck stuff goes, though, we only got to see the Spanker rocket launcher, the base model, and we got to see two of the full armor sets, the Mark IV and the Raijin. I think that's how you say that. So we actually got a full reveal earlier this week. So we actually know all 51 wrecks that are coming with the Cartographer's Gift update. We have, 15 new emblems, including the numbers 0 through 9. So you have all the numbered ones like you could have in Halo 3. There's also Cone, which is a fan favorite. Flaming Ninja, another fan favorite. Spartan Swords.
Which is my emblem. It's finally back.
Nice, dude.
Yeah. And then Stuck, which is pretty much the original Podtacular logo, or kind of what the original Podtacular logo was based off of. But these are all emblems that we've seen in past games, and they've been up there before. So it's nice to see some fan favorites return. We have two new assassinations. One is called Nice Try, and the other one is Oh Snap. You can probably conjure a guess at what the Oh Snap probably does. We also have a new set of loadout skins. So these are the gold standard, and it kind of reminds me of the steampunk ones from Halo 4 a little bit, but they're gold plated in certain areas, and they look really, really nice.
They look a lot better than those steampunk ones did.
Yeah. Gold camo is always going to be a favorite, no matter what game it's in.
This will probably be the skins that I will go with. I will probably change it to them once I get these.
I was saying a pre-show, I would love it if they had just a beat-up Halo 2 looking BR, you know, like the old school black one with the triangles on the side.
Yeah.
That would be my skin of choice if I could.
Hands down.
Well, speaking of a classic BR, one of the things that they've added in here is a new loadout weapon, which is the classic BR. And it has 6 different mods that you can attach to it. So that's being added in there. And not exactly sure what the classic BR is, but when we were talking pre-show, the idea that kind of went around was it has the classic BR scope.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. It would almost be a hindrance because the new scope gives you so much like peripheral vision. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I wonder what.
Probably similar to what the DMR has, the stock DMR.
So like a higher zoom or something?
Yeah. Probably not a higher zoom, but just maybe black. It's maybe a boosted accuracy or.
Yeah.
Something like that, which I don't know if the BR really needs, but.
No, not at all.
Like how you have the classic BR common and then the classic BR ultra rare.
Well, the ultra rare is the one that has the blade at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, that thing's hilarious.
That you never get a chance to use. Oh.
I have so many of those.
Because it's like level 9.
You have to be. Yeah. I have an Oni Mantis that I just keep stockpiling up, and I haven't even had a chance to use it. So when I get this thing, it better be indestructible.
If it's anything Oni, yeah, it's going to be.
The Oni vehicles are really tough to kill.
Well, the Hog for sure, and I haven't had any other opportunities to try any others, but
the Oni Hog, I watched Game Sager on a stream like just destroy with that thing. It was absolutely ridiculous.
That thing is fun to use. That's the only Warthog I don't sell off.
Yeah. How many are you guys still playing Warzone? Like, are you guys playing regularly or just
I play it to warm up and then kind of call it a night. But outside of that, I don't play it. But then again,
I played a couple games tonight.
I have such a hard time going into other playlists by myself or without a full party. So Warzone kind of just becomes a default. It's not my playlist of choice, but it's where I end up just continuously kind of dropping into more than I want to.
Like Warzone Assault or regular?
I just do Assault so I can get the faster.
Get the wreck with those wreck files. Yeah.
I do the same thing. And the other thing too, for me not playing Arena yet, and I've only been ranked in 2 players in Arena, is just I haven't found a fire team to go in with yet because I don't want to really go in on my own because I know I'm not gonna, I'm just gonna get steamrolled from organized teams. So I haven't been able to find a team to actually go in and actually play some arena. So that's one of the reasons why I'm still focused on Warzone. And Warzone with a decent party is a lot of fun. Not to say that arena wouldn't be, but I haven't found like a group that's willing to like just go in and play with me. And whenever I'm on, everyone's usually playing Warzone.
Yep.
Man, we had a full party one time. I went in and got spawn killed by dudes with scorpions and like whiplash railguns and stuff. We got absolutely destroyed with a full team of like YouTubers. It was disgusting. Like, so, there's some nasty games that happen in Warzone.
Safe especially to say now that footage won't be making it.
Oh no, video. Yeah. You guys, you guys don't see the fails in videos. You just see the good stuff.
I have a lot of fun in SWAT just going in by myself.
That's the thing is that, and I think social is going to go a long way to rectify this. But in my opinion, like the biggest launch trouble that Halo 5's had is like the singular solo experience. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of times where I would log in and I would get on it and like just kind of stare at the screen like, okay, I don't know what to do now because I'm like, I don't have friends that are in my necessarily in my division. And then I also didn't feel like playing Warzone. So sometimes I would just turn it off. I mean, yeah. I play arena by myself because I'm kind of in that sweet spot where it's not super high level, where I can play and have decent games by myself. But it kind of sucks to have to play by myself because a lot of my friends are in, you know, Onyx or High Diamond or something like that. Or champion, yeah. Even.
Yeah,
you can play with me. I'm only a silver? No, well, silver in three playlists and a platinum in the others.
Silver, let's go, dude. Let's get hey. That place.
Yeah, somehow no, I got placed into Onyx for SWAT.
Everybody got Onyx for SWAT and Free for All. That's why I think they're tweaking it because of that. I got Onyx and Free for All, and I'm definitely not an Onyx player.
Yeah,
I get silver and Free for All. It didn't work for me.
I'm glad they're making it six players. Let's say that.
Yeah, me too. I can actually, I feel like I'll be able to happily play FFA again because the eight man thing was not working on these set of maps.
Sorry, I'm probably skipping ahead to the update news. I'm probably.
No, it's fine. Some of the stuff that we talked about was last week, but there's a little bit of new stuff too that we didn't talk about either. And that was one of them was that they are doing some balancing to the ranking and all that stuff. We'll get to that in here in a second after I finish up with the Rex. But in addition, we have, I think it was four different variants. Two variants on the Regin armor set. And then there is a new variant on the Locust armor set, Pathfinder armor set, Wetwork armor set, and Rogue armor set. So there's some new variants in there. Two new stances, fire support and tactical carry, a new visor, which is a deep blue color, and I think that's it.
I gotta say, I'm really impressed with the way the Mark VI looks, but I think I might, or not the Mark VI, Mark IV. I'm really impressed with the way the Mark IV, but that Raijin?
I think it's Raijin, yeah.
That looks pretty slick. I don't like the chest, but the helmet is really cool.
Now, does the Mark IV
the chest, not the helmet?
Does the Mark IV have the little ammo pouches in the front, like CE?
No, I don't believe so.
That makes me upset.
No, it doesn't.
Well, because CE was the Mark V.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Mark IV was from Halo Wars.
See the Mark V pop up soon. I mean, the Mark IV is cool, but
oh, okay. I got my Mark numbers mixed up.
Yeah, Mark IV was Halo Wars.
This is spectacular.
I know this is lore action. This is lore central.
We're not anywhere near perfect when it comes to getting stuff accurate. That's why we have guests on the show.
Shh. He doesn't need to know that.
Uni's Band like CE call. Equals Mark V. Who is this guest? Hey, I'm the host. I run the show. I own this place now. I can say whatever I want.
This is my house.
It is my house. Anyways, and we have, in addition for the base Spanker rocket, we also have three variants off of that. We have the Spanker EM, the Spanker EX, and the Spanker Prime.
So excited for the Spanker.
Rocket launchers, fire
it
out.
It just doesn't feel right with these new rockets to me. They just across the board, fire right. They don't. I don't know.
Across the board, they nerfed how fast project like explosive projectiles move in Halo 5. So like the fuel rod, the rockets all shoot really slow. Like they have a slow velocity, and they're slow to switch to and like use. It's kind of weird. I mean, they're powerful. It's
the same for the sniper rifle as well.
Yeah, if you pay attention,
it fires slower and you switch weapons slower with it.
If you pay attention, anything that's meant to be a long range weapon in Halo 5, you switch to it and it has slower handling. So like the shotgun and the AR and the SMG, you can switch to them super fast. But the sniper, the rockets, the fuel rod all like pull up really slow and are and ready really slow. It's an interesting choice they made.
Well, we're getting the spanker back, so I'm guessing it's going to be similar to how it was in the past Halo games. So yeah, a little bit faster, a little bit more explosive.
I like that.
At least I would hope so. We also talked a little bit about a couple of other things that was in the video, so we won't cover those too much. But the day after we recorded the last show, they released a little more info that gave us a sneak peek at the Cartographer's Gift. So we have a little more details on what else is coming with the update. So there's going to be social. So social's back.
Yeah, that's my favorite news of everything that they announced.
Yeah.
Hands down.
I was like the social Twitter champion warrior for a few weeks there. Like every tweet, I was like, social, please, yep. Anybody?
Yep. So social's coming back. Big Team Battle is going to be the first social playlist. And once the update goes live, which they said is going to be as early as the 15th, or if not the 15th, sometime within that week. So once we get that dropped, Big Team will go to social playlist. And then they'll look at other playlists and community feedback for other playlists that they would want to have in there. So I would assume Shoddy Snipes, if that becomes like a playlist, that would be a social playlist. And then once we get new game modes through Forge, if we get those put in, we'll probably get those maybe as social, something like that. Who knows?
So is BTB going to be social only?
Yes. Interesting. Are you sure? Because they worded that in a way that kind of seemed like it could go either way. They said they're adding social BTB, but they didn't say anything about the ranked BTB.
Well, no, it's going to be...
I would hope that they would have both, because I have a lot of friends that are...
Yeah. A lot of my
really
friends.
Invested in Big Team Battle on a more competitive side. And
what makes you think what makes you think there's going to be a
it just BTB? Seemed like they left it open.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, social playlists, one of which will be Big Team Battle.
Yeah.
That's pretty clear to me that Big Team Battle is going to be
one
social
of them
and that's
will
it.
Be Big Team Battle, but it doesn't say anything what they're doing with the ranked BTB.
It's not going to be ranked anymore. That's what that means.
They didn't say that. They just said one of them will be Big Team Battle.
I'm leaning towards like, I hope that they have a ranked BTB option,
Big Team Battle playlist will be social. That's
sounds like it's being changed.
I don't know how it can be confusing.
Maybe when I read it differently, but I felt like they were leaving the door open.
Uni can confirm, I guess, or we can just wait till tomorrow, which I won't actually be able to watch the stream tomorrow, which that's another thing. They're having a stream tomorrow as of this recording, which is going to be Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And I actually will have guests over, so I will not be able to watch that. I'll have to get that on VOD later on. So Haas, you'll be in charge of live tweeting if you're around.
Okay.
If you're around. I know you have responsibilities too. But with the social playlist coming, we're also getting our first rank season. So right now, all the ranks that we're getting are what is considered preseason ranks. So you have up until the update drops to get your highest rank in whatever, and that'll be your preseason rank. And you can actually go back and see what your rank is for all the seasons. So this will be under like preseason. So once the update drops, that's going to be the January season, which will obviously last a little bit longer than a month, but it'll go through to the end of January. And with every new season, your ranked resets. You have to go through the 10 placement matches to get re-ranked. And with the new season, they're also doing some CSR tuning, the competitive skill rank tuning. Personally, I have had no problem with like the skill-based matchmaking. That has been spot on in Arena. I can't congratulate them more enough for actually making it to where like you feel like you're actually playing with people that are of your skill. So kudos to 343 for nailing that one. But definitely could agree with them that people were getting placed higher than they should have. And for me getting be able to place
higher or lower, I've seen both sides of it.
Yeah. Oh, really? I've seen more higher. Yeah.
Well, I think with FFA and SWAT, yeah, but
FFA was pretty absurd. Like, everyone got Onyx. Literally everyone got Onyx. I don't know if they... My feeling was that it was like... Oh, really?
No.
Sorry.
No, I got silver.
My feeling was that it counted... like, the Halo 4 ranking system in FFA, I believe, if you got top three, that counted as a win. So, if you just got top three in your 10 placement matches, even if you didn't win any of them, it would count it as a win. So, I think it would place you Onyx.
Hmm. Interesting. But they are doing some tweaks and some tuning to the competitive skill rank. So that'll be coming with the new season as well. FFA is going to be 6 players, which we kind of hinted at already. And if they see some feedback to where people want a different number, like maybe 5 or go back to 8, then they'll obviously change that in the future. But they're going to 6 based on current feedback. So cool on that one. There's also a long interview of maybe 5 or 6 designers on Battle of Noctis. So if you want to read that, you can head on over to the Halo Waypoint blog there. Also have a little bit on Overgrowth with some really cool screenshots. And then there's some UI features and bug fixes that they have coming as well. So lots of cool little details there. I want to hit on some of the other news before we go on real quick. I know we took a little bit longer on this one, but right now for those listening, and I think this is still going on, I will check real quick to make sure I am not lying about this, but if it is, depending on when you're listening to this, right now you can get Halo 5 Guardians, the limited collector's edition, for $99 on Amazon. So if there is any point in time that you were considering getting the limited collector's edition, this is probably the cheapest you will ever, ever, ever see Halo 5 Guardians, the limited collector's edition. So buy it now. I'm actually going to try to get this podcast out for tomorrow, just so people can actually hear this. But if this is still $99 by the time you're listening to this podcast, go get it. I bought 2 today that we'll use for giveaways for times down the road. But if you are looking to get the limited collector's edition, if it was something that you wanted, that you had your eyes set on, but the $250 price point was too high, you cannot beat $99.
Such a good deal.
So on top of that, Loot Crate is featured partnered with Halo for the Galaxy Crate, which is the December theme. And with it, there is an exclusive Loot Crate Halo item. We don't know what it is yet. And it's also going to include a rec pack. So if you are a subscriber to Loot Crate, you'll already get that. If you are not a subscriber, what Loot Crate is it's a box that comes monthly in the mail, depending on how long your subscription is. So you can get a 1-month subscription. You can just buy one crate at a time. You can do a 3-month subscription, 6-month subscription, or a year subscription. And you get, they have a theme for every month. So this month's theme is Galaxy. So they have different things from pop culture, video games, TV shows, all that kind of stuff that relates to Galaxy. And Halo is one of them this time around. But for Galaxy, you could also include things like Star Trek or Mass Effect, all that kind of stuff that fits within that theme. So every month they have a certain theme that goes with, and each crate is $13.95 plus $6.95 shipping, so it comes out to around $20. But with the partnering with Halo, you can actually get $3 off your crate if you sign up for a new account, new subscription, using the code Halo. So you'll get $3 off, so it'll be $17. And again, this is going to contain an exclusive item, that exclusive Halo item that you can only get through Loot Crate. I don't know if Uni wants to drop a hint. He probably won't. But and then there's also going to be a rec pack. I don't know if that's going to be just like a standard promotional rec pack or if that's going to be a specific rec pack to Loot Crate. Like it would contain an emblem that would be
Loot Crate. Strategy guides had the Prima.
Prima had one. Astro had one. Mega Bloks had one. So I would assume it would be something like that. So if you're interested in Loot Crate, you have until midnight Eastern time on December 20th, which you could say 11:59 p.m. on the 19th. That helps make it better. But you have until then to order your crate, or else you will not get the December crate. So make sure you go get that if that's something you're interested in. If you like to collect little Halo stuff, definitely try to get your hands on that crate. Let's see, what else do we have going on for news? I think there's a couple other things. So the Hunt the Truth Season 2 Supercut just got released earlier this week, and they actually made the top 50 playlists on, or top 50 podcasts on iTunes. So congratulations to the team that worked on Hunt the
Truth.
That's
really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really fun to listen to. I actually looked forward to that each week.
Yeah, Hunt the Truth is, in my opinion, the singular best piece of marketing that's come out of games in a long time. Like, just promotional marketing, it's really, really good. It's really well done.
It's very well done. It's awesome to see just the effort that they put into it. And to know that they were listening to us and working on, like, the second or third episode ahead while we were talking about it was awesome. And hit up Noah earlier this week, and we're going to see if we can get them back on in January, see if we can get some of the voice actors too, and kind of get a different perspective on what it is to actually like put something like that together. Because whenever we had Noah and Ian on, and what was the other guy's name? I'm forgetting at the moment. But when we had them on, we talked a little bit more about the evolution of the story and how that kind of went. So it'd be cool to get a perspective on the actual production process of it. Because I know for me, editing a podcast, and ours is definitely not nearly as involved as what Hunt the Truth was, because you have so many different layers of VFX and so many other things kind of going into it, where ours is a little more simple. It's just kind of cutting out ums and uhs, taking out pauses and all that fun stuff. So it'd be cool to get an actual production side of how it was to create Hunt the Truth, but major shout outs to them. They did a fantastic job. The voice acting was top notch. The story was engaging, even though the whole Hunt the Truth campaign wasn't really related to the Halo 5 storyline whatsoever.
What? Really?
And the writing was just so well paced. Must have missed
something.
Like, the writing in that was so strong. It was so much better paced than the actual story of Halo 5, unfortunately.
And they did a really good job at keeping you interested. With little kind like of cliffhanger at the end.
Yeah.
They did such an amazing job. This was...
I love that it made you question what you knew, even though you're like, I know this. Yeah. I know the truth. But they wrote it in such a way that actually made you go, well, maybe there's something we haven't been told. Maybe 343 is really twisting something or adding something we were never informed of or never read or seen on screen. That's what I really enjoyed about it, is even though I felt like I knew the answers, it made me question.
Yeah. Because you can like read Fall of Reach, and it feels like some of the things you listen to in Hunt the Truth kind of flip it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely made you think which story was actually true.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and it was cool to see a different perspective, because most of the time that we've seen it has been through the perspective of the whole of the universe, kind of the absolute truth. And to get a perspective of actually being able to peer inside the universe and see what people within the universe would see, that's a different perspective that we really haven't seen before.
Yeah, that's a good point, because the books are all written from kind of like or at least the books I've read are written from like that third person, you know, like omnipotent point of view where they know everything and they're switching between characters. But this is like a very personal, almost autobiographical story. That's why it was so strong to me, is that it had a lot of personality in it. And like I said, the pacing was so strong with it too. It made it a very personal story about a very big concept. You know what I mean? Like the concept of Chief, you know, like questioning the whole where his allegiances lie.
Very much so. I would agree with that. And it made the podcast that much better. It really did.
Like the episodic format. It's kind of cool. It like harkens back to like, you know, like old radio dramas they used to do. Like there was like the War of the Worlds radio drama they did back in the day, where like people actually believed the aliens were invading because it sounded so real to them over the radio. You know, like they did it as a newscast. They like had that feel to it. It reminded me of
it. It felt like you were listening to somebody that was actually hiding or on the run.
Yeah. Exactly.
So congratulations to the team for doing such an amazing job for getting the podcast up and going and being able to hit that top 50 chart. That's just simply amazing. So way to go, guys. very cool accomplishment, to say the least.
Definitely.
Next thing I want to cover real quick is, because we have Forge coming with the update, we've started doing some more community-focused content. So you may have seen this week, we posted a few community-focused things. So we're going to try to do these on a weekly basis. Hopefully we can stay on top of that. But our schedule of content is going to look something like Saturdays we'll release the podcast, or like no later than Saturday, which hopefully I can get my butt in gear and actually do that on a consistent basis. Mondays is going to be kind of a Machinima Monday type thing. So we actually put our first one out there, and it's called Invisible, and it's done by a studio or a user by the name of Nightmare Films. And it's a pretty simple one. I mean, since they didn't have Forge, it's actually done in Halo 5. So it's a pretty good Machinima. But we're hoping to see some Machinima pop out of Forge. I know Forge is definitely one of the big things that people have been waiting for. And we've actually been talking with a couple of machinimators for doing some stuff for our actual big Operation Supply Drop stream, which will be in late January. So hopefully we'll get to see some pretty cool content come out of that. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be doing screenshot captions. And I got permission to use one of the receptors that he put up over the weekend. So that is over up on our blog right now. So we're going to do something similar to how I can't remember who did this. Some community did it to where they took responses and they kind of embedded some of the funnier responses in the picture and had that as kind of like the primer for the next post. But we're going to do something like that. We'll take the best responses, we'll put them into the picture, and then we'll repost the picture with some of the best responses, and then we'll post a new picture. So if there's videos or if there's Machinima that anyone out there is making that want us to feature it, or if people are taking screenshots, then definitely hit us up. For the first little bit, we're going to actually be going through some file shares of different people, depending on if we see some stuff get put up on Reddit or HBO, those kind of places, just to kind of get some initial content for us to get this rolling. So if you do have something, make sure you do send it to us so we can see it and that we can get it up for you guys. And then we're going to be doing, hopefully, depending on how long it actually takes to get it done, and our video maker doesn't know this yet because I haven't told him yet, but we're going to try to have a top 5 clips, and hopefully we'll be able to have one for next week. If not, we'll try to have one for the week after. But again, we're going to be trying to pull from clips from people that have put stuff on YouTube or on Reddit or on Twitter, that kind of stuff, just to kind of get some initial content going, see what people think about the style that we would do it in. But again, if there's some stuff that you would like to send us, and I believe Haas, he put the tweet out this weekend and he did a really good job with that, but we got some good responses on just kind of some clips people had over the weekend. So we'll put those together into a top 5 kind of thing. So we're really looking to do some more community content for the website, especially with Forge coming. So if you're going to get involved with that, if you're making content, please let us know. That way we can feature it, highlight it, do whatever. And that's it for the news front this week. So going into our campaign discussion, we left off on Mission 4, which is Meridian Station. And this is the first hub, so we'll kind of blow through this one pretty quickly. But this is the first time you actually get to meet Governor Sloan in person, and you actually find out that he's an AI. He's an AI that's been running the city. And he's kind of deformed in a way where I think it was it Vale or Tanaka that made the observation that he's deteriorating and kind of going rampant?
Vale.
So she makes the observation that he's definitely taking a toll and seems like he's sparing cycles to keep the city going and kind of stay sane. And he's like, it's not very polite to talk about someone's health. And so kind of overheard their conversation. But in this hub mission, there's 8 different pieces of intel that you can go around and find. They're all pretty centrally located. With being able to use the Artemis, you can find them pretty easily. And actually, all of our intel guides are finally up, every single one of them. So you can go watch those if you want to as well. There's basically 3-4 objectives that you have in here. Once you get to the town, you get the little spiel from Governor Sloan telling his people, these Spartans are welcome, let them walk around and ask whatever they need to ask. So you go ask two different Marines questions, and you can find them with your Artemis. You go ask them for like information. They tell you what they need to tell you. And they're talking about Chief's team coming down and going where they need to go. Then you access the network terminal to get some more information about the location that the two Marines told you about. And then you hop on a Pelican and head out. So it's pretty quick and easy. Nothing really much to do here other than get the intel, hit the two, three objectives that you need to hit. And that's pretty much it. But another thing to note on this mission as well, for Mission 4, there is an Easter egg. There is a vending machine over by one of the pieces of intel. If you look for the intel that's on top of the garbage, which is going to be along the left fence, whenever you enter the kind of docking bay area, you find the vending machine. I think you have to activate it 9-10 times, something like that. And once you do, you'll hear this cheering, and then you'll see a soccer ball pop up, and you can just kind of walk around and mess with it. I'm guessing there's goals somewhere.
Yeah, there's a cone goal not far from where the ball spawns.
Okay.
It's at the, see. It's in between the two rows of buildings, all the way to the back of the map from where you spawn in. You'll see just two rows of cones. And if you roll the soccer ball in there, you get the Grant birthday sound.
Okay, cool.
I don't know if there's a second goal. I know there's that one.
Half court soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Touchback line. So that's Mission 4. Pretty simple. Up mission. Not much else to talk about.
What do you guys think of these? Like, this is the first one you guys are covering, right?
Mm-hmm. For hub mission, yeah.
I just don't understand them.
They're kind of a missed opportunity, in my opinion. They anything that's just a waypoint, you know what I mean? And it's just kind of like, go here, do this. It feels very mechanical, and it feels like it takes a lot of the momentum out of what the campaign's building up to that point. And I feel like they just kind of slog the entire campaign down. Like a good example of something like this, like an NPC zone, is something like in Half-Life or something. Like, I think Half-Life 2 at the very beginning, when you are in that sort of checkpoint station, and there's a lot more tension building there. Whereas in this, it's just kind of like, all right, check things off a checklist. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see the point of the level, but it's nothing that they couldn't have done in a cutscene.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that was one of the biggest things I've heard. It's a place to
put intel.
I felt like it was a filler.
Yeah, and this was a good opportunity to actually do something with the story. And I know a lot of people were kind of voicing that. And it makes sense, because if this is going to be something that you're just walking through waypoint to waypoint, and it's not like you can't go find story, but you actually have to go out of your way and talk to a bunch of different Marines, or just stand by them until they say something.
Press X, and then you can move on to the next one.
You know, I think that's a big issue with Halo 5 is, in past Halo games, you didn't have to go find story. You know, you could find the deeper story, but the main story, that was there for you. But this game just felt like the main story was missing pieces, and you had to go find those pieces of the story. And that's what I didn't really like. And maybe that's what other people didn't like. I don't know. I can't speak for everyone, but
I respect the fact that they were trying to do something new, kind of. But I guess it's not really new. I mean, it's kind of like in Halo 3 when you're walking around, you know, the base, and I forget what mission it is, but and that's kind of an NPC zone as well until, you know, all heck breaks loose or whatever. But I respect the fact that they're trying to like create, you know, like, I don't know, like a different feel to a Halo mission, but I just feel like it kind of fell flat. Some more creative design decisions maybe would have made it a little more engaging.
And I hate, this is weird. This is a weird little complaint. I hate walking around levels where I'm moving slower and I have my rifle down.
Yeah, it looks kind of funny.
Like, I just hate it. Like, maybe I want to pull oh my gosh, he killed Captain Keyes moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't like the fact that they take control away from you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In those levels. And honestly, I don't think they add a lot to the story. Don't get me wrong. If you wander around and you kind of stand next to some of the people, you'll get little neat little snippets, but it's nothing that's critical to the main story of the game, other than the two NPCs you have to go talk to that give you facts about Blue Team. I just feel they're waste. It's a waste of a mission to do something like that.
Missed opportunity. Yeah.
And there was so there short. There's
so much more they could have put in there. Yeah.
They're so short to the point where I don't even consider the missions. Like, to me, Halo 5 has 12 missions. Halo 2 still has the most amount of missions in any Halo campaign.
Totally agree.
These will be the easiest levels that you can complete on a Legendary in the history. I'm gonna stream Meridian Station All Skulls On.
Complete a mission on Lasso.
Yeah.
Put the guide up on YouTube.
It's this easy.
Yeah. I really hope they don't do that again.
Or if they do, it needs to be more impactful. It needs to be done in a way that you actually, there's some meaning behind doing it. Not just going from NPC to NPC, but there's actually some like story that either drives your engagement in something like a hub mission, or that there is no other way to present whatever they need to present going forward. Because like Lurker said, it could have been easily done in a cutscene. Or whoever said that. It could easily...
That was me, actually, but...
Oh, sorry. Like Godzilla said, it could have been easily done in the cutscene. But it made finding intel really easy. I will say that.
Yeah, but there again, it's there for...
It's filler content. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's... There's no point.
It's like a commercial break in the middle of a movie that you're watching on TNT.
Yeah, dude.
Intermission.
Like I said, you know, it just they make sucks fun momentum. Things
for video games called pause buttons.
So that's mission 4. We'll go ahead and move on to mission 5, which is unconfirmed. We are searching for Blue Team. We have the coordinates of where they landed their Pelican, and we go off searching for it. We, as in Fire Team Osiris. So this mission is kind of a pain to go through. I will admit there are some definite choke points going through it, but there is lots of different pathways that you can take, especially when you get to the mine part. And then you also have the big warden battle at the end, the first time you actually meet the warden, which is pretty cool. So starting off, you have two pieces of intel that you can pick up. One's in the depot immediately to the left, and then there's one in a little kind of convening like seating area before you enter your main battle with the Prometheans. There's not really much of a tactic here. Just watch out for the splinter turrets in the back. They will do some damage to you, especially if you're on Legendary. Make sure you take all the crawlers with your BR. Pretty easy headshots to take them out. There's no real special tactic here. I would definitely recommend staying up on the right. I think most of the time I went through this mission, you're staying on the right hand side. That's kind of the best pathway to take. Most of the like higher up pathways are on the right. So again, first part, kind of hang to the right side, kill off all the crawlers first, and then focus fire on the splinter turrets without being taken out by the other soldiers that are around. And that's the first area. And then the second area is just another... That's when you get up to the landing that has the Pelican on it. There is a piece of intel right before you get to the top landing. There's actually some power weapons up there as well that you can get a hold of. I think there's a saw, there's a rail gun, and once you get to the very top...
To the left as you enter, yeah.
Once you get to the very top, you can actually... And once you clear out all the Prometheans, you can also get the Norfing, which is inside. And sorry, it's not a Pelican. It's a what's the vehicle? What's their ship? Not a longsword, not a Pelican. What?
Prowler.
Thank you. Their Prowler.
Is it a Prowler?
Or
I think that's what they call it. It's the experimental Prowler.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. I don't know why I said Pelican, but they're Prowler. So heading on up there, take out two Promethean knights that spawn in the kind of center platform there. Lots of crawlers, and the knights will spawn watchers, so make sure you take them out pretty quickly as well. Again, there's a saw up on the top walkway on the left. There's a Hydra on the right. There's a Hydra and rocket launchers on the lower part underneath the catwalks on the left. So once you take out that area, you'll inspect the Prowler. You go in and access one of the computers there to see where Blue Team went. And it turns out there's a mine shaft that's close by where they entered. So you go off finding that. Pick up the Nor Fang. I would give it to an AI personally, because there's, if you're playing solo, that is, they're going to probably be able to use it a lot more effectively than you will, especially for the next part, because the next part's going to have Promethean snipers, and you can easily take those out with a BR, because they're single-shot headshot, even on Legendary. Did I miss anything on the docking bay before I jump too far ahead here? I know I'm kind of going through things really quickly on this mission.
The piece of intel on the tail of the ship.
Yep, there's that too. If you jump on top of the catwalks on the left side when you get to that platform, you can jump onto the nose of the Prowler and then head to the back. And then on top of the tail there, you'll find another piece of intel. And so once you get past that, you will have... this is actually a place for an achievement as well. If you damage a knight and then let a watcher repair a knight, and then you kill the knight, then you'll get an achievement called Waiting on You. So you have to wait for the watcher to completely repair the soldier, and you can kind of tell when the watcher is repairing him. So just after that, then you can kill the knight, and you'll get an achievement Waiting on You. So the next section, like I said before, is going to have some Promethean snipers. You can use your BR, or there is a slew of DMRs in the next area, as well as a normal sniper that you can use to take out. I think it's something like 6 Promethean snipers. Is that sound right?
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, they'll have, if I remember right, they have two waves that come in. Once you kill, I think, 2 of the first wave, the second wave will spawn in. So be aware of the snipers, because they will one-shot you on any difficulty.
On any good difficulty? I mean, if it's a headshot, sure, but I've taken fire from them on, like, normal.
Well, yeah, headshot, it's any difficulty. I think on normal, you can take 2 shots.
Yeah.
But either way, they will kill you very fast.
They're binary rifles. They're pretty deadly.
So make them dead fast.
Yes. And again, headshots, as long as you have a BR or DMR, you can make quick work of this area. Although if you don't make quick work of this area, it can become a nightmare pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a batch of crawlers that pop in. I think it's maybe 2 or 3 batches. I think it's 2. So take those out with your BR, DMR, headshot as well. There's also another piece of intel.
And then you have 2 splinter turrets that spawn in as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are they headshot as well? Single shot headshot?
No, they take multiple shots. If you have Norfang, I believe they are a one-shot kill.
Okay.
But with a regular sniper, they are not.
Gotcha.
Unless you run up there and grab one of the... No, not even with the other...
Binary rifle?
Because you have to knock their armor off. Yeah, with a binary rifle. You have to hit them twice in the head, I believe, on that particular one. The lower rank ones are still one shot.
Gotcha. There's also another piece of intel here. So in the building on the left, that's where you'll see a lot of the Promethean snipers. There's a little vent. If you Spartan charge that or just speed it down, you'll find a piece of intel in there with a railgun, which can be useful for the next part if you want to pick that up or give it to one of your AI folks. And if you do that, make sure you take the railgun outside the building so they can actually go in and pick it up, because they will not go in the vent. Because the AIs are dumb, like really dumb.
And then you hope that you'll use it.
Yeah, exactly. Don't switch back to their primary. So that one's pretty easy. Once you get to the part where you actually enter the mine shaft itself, you have this big ramp that goes down. There's actually a skull in here. So just after you enter the mine, there's going to be a little kind of raised section on the left, a little platform. If you jump on that and then jump on a box, there's a little gap in the ceiling area where there's some pipes. You jump over, clamber on top of that, and then in the very back, in a little cave area, there is a skull. So that is, which skull is that one? I don't remember off the top of my head, and I'm trying to find it in the guide. The blind skull.
I found it just as you said it.
Perfect timing. So you can find the skull there, and then you have this big, long corridor fight. You have basically three different groups of Prometheans that you fight. So this first the first area that you get to, you'll see a Promethean holding a saw. You can go up and assassinate them, pick up a saw. In the building on the right, you can activate some turrets, which is very useful. And the difficulty is kind of up to heroic. Once you get to legendary, they're just kind of temporary distractions, pretty much. The first wave you're going to find is probably a handful of crawlers, maybe 4 to 6, and then 6 or so soldiers with varying weapons. I think one of them does have a binary rifle, so watch out for him. Then there are plenty of power weapons in and around this area. So depending on which route you take, and if you have the Prima Strategy Guide, definitely use it because it'll show you where all the power weapons are. But there is a sniper rifle on the left, kind of about midway up. There you'll see a big pillar, and there's some sniper rifles over there. If you head over to the right, if you can jump onto some pipes, and there's one of the pipes that hugs the wall that goes kind of up a ways, you'll find another piece of intel there, and then you also find a Hydra. Then you'll see kind of a center divide in this area, and that's kind of the trigger point for the second wave of enemies. So as you cross that line, that's kind of the plane that activates the next area. There is a rock. There's a pair of rocket launchers there, and scattered throughout that second area, there is a bunch of gun geese that has the little kind of missile pods on it. So use the power weapons to your benefit. There's going to be lots of crawlers, going to be lots of knights. I could count from maybe 60 or so enemies. Maybe not quite as much, but it seems like that much. I don't know if anyone's ever counted.
Well, they actually recommend that the other achievement for this level, which I can't think of the name of it, but basically you and your co-op partner team up and kill 30 enemies on a vehicle. They recommend to do it in this room.
Yep.
Can give you an idea how many enemies are in there.
I just saw that achievement, but yeah, it's called Maverick.
Yeah.
So hop in a vehicle and kill 30 or more enemies during this mission. This is the only place you can actually pick up a vehicle to do it. So pretty much go in here, pick up a mongoose or a gun goose. And I don't think this has a difficulty tied to it. So do it on easy, do it on normal, do it on whatever that makes it most fun and easy for you. But there's 4 mongoose or gun gooses here. Gun geeses.
I love that phrase. Gun geese. It's hilarious.
That's what I call them.
It's actually, you could say it either way. Either way is correct, according to the dictionary, according to Webster. And again, there's power weapons all over the place. If you find yourself in a bind, pick up a saw, because they will make quick work of both crawlers and soldiers. And there's plenty of saws around. I think there's like 4 or 5, something like that. Like I go somewhere and it's like, oh, a saw, cool.
I like saws.
Looks like there are 3 of them.
Yeah, I saw the guy say that. I think there's more, because I think I remember seeing one down by whatever that like vehicle is on the ground floor, but I'm not sure. It seems like there's more than just the 3 that the guide is depicting, but I could be wrong. Could have just gotten lucky.
Possible.
Anyways, use the gun geese, use the rocket launchers, use the hydras, rail guns, whatever you can find to clear out that area. Once you clear out that area, you'll head up to another platform that's elevated. You'll encounter a splinter turret soldier, and then you'll encounter a knight, and then there's another soldier, I think. But I think he just has like a suppressor or something. But the knight will have a incineration cannon, and then there's obviously a soldier with a splinter turret. So be careful when you go up there. I would definitely recommend using rockets, or if you have suppressor, hit the vulnerable spots on the knight and then headshot him when he does his little outrage thing. Then once you take him out, you have this long walkway over to a mine shaft that kind of goes down into the lava flows. And just before that, you can head on over to a left catwalk that's on the very left, and you'll find the last piece of intel for this mission. So go pick that up. And then at the very bottom of this mine shaft, you will have your fight with Warden Eternal. This is the first time you are introduced to Warden Eternal, and he is a pain in the butt, especially on Legendary.
Such a jerk.
I will say, pro tip from Pro Ace Joker, whenever I was on with him during our Operation Supply Drop stream, there a lot of speedrunners use a technique where you stand behind him with a scatter shot, and it turns out that as you're reloading the scatter shot, the firing rate of a reloading scatter shot is actually faster than with a full clip of scatter shot and then pulling the trigger. So a lot of speedrunners actually just stand behind the warden, keep firing with the scatter shot, and then when you get to the point where he's vulnerable to assassinate, they assassinate him. And yes, you can actually assassinate the warden. If you haven't seen videos of that...
That looks amazing, by the way.
It looks a little ridiculous. I think some of the animation on that is a little misplaced, or at least it kind of seems that way just because of the size difference. But it is a pretty cool assassination.
You can do it in Warzone, too, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, I had one robbed from me and we lost a game. I was very upset. I was assassinating the warden, and they hit him with a rocket shell, and I lost.
Well, the thing about Warzone is that the warden kill doesn't register when the assassination's done.
What?
It's actually a little bit after really? That. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. I did not know that.
There's a certain part in the animation when it registers as the warden being killed, and that is not after the assassination.
I wonder if you have assassinations turned off, if you can just backsmack him.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Although that would be pretty funny. You just see him like fall over and then do his little like black hole warp death thing.
It's black hole sun.
Let's see, you backsmack him in the butt.
You gotta jump.
Anyways, if you are in a position where you're not really comfortable with doing the whole scatter shot method, like a bunch of speedrunners are, which I'm not, there's a incineration cannon at the very top, which you can pick up on one of the little floating platforms, and you can use that to take out the warden. Whenever you are fighting the warden, you want to take out the little black core on his back. And if you can't get an angle on him that way, first of all, use your AIs to help you get fire. So one of the things I try to do is I will hand all my AIs power weapons, and then I will try to distract the warden, but instruct all of my AIs, like try to behind them and then instruct them to attack. So if they have something like an incineration cannon or a sniper, while I have the warden distracted, they're actually a good amount of time actually smart enough to actually shoot the core of the warden. So that's a decent way to take him out too. And I actually used that strategy a lot on Legendary. And that's how I took out the wardens, was I distracted the warden and I had all my AIs with power weapons basically fire the living hell out of the warden.
Yeah, I did that, and they would run right up to the warden and then he'd stomp and squish him.
And then you start to run.
Do that blade attack.
Right.
It's like, really?
Yep.
Because the next time you face the warden, when blue team faces the warden, I had all the AI had power weapons. I meticulously cleaned out every other soldier, crawler, knight. So the only thing on the field was the warden. I would get the warden's attention and I would instruct the other players to go attack him. They would literally run up to him with their primary weapons out, not the heavy weapons that I've given them, and then he would kill all three of them.
Yep, because they're dumb. They're dumb, dumb, dumb. And after you kill the warden, you have the cutscene between Locke and Chief, which everyone kind of argues that should have been the playable part, which I kind of agree. And that's just really unfortunate, because you have this, and this is where people really start to have the mindset of, okay, this whole Hunt the Truth thing is kind of a joke. Like, this is where you start, like, from all the campaign promotional stuff, promo campaign that they had for the game going, the marketing campaign, it all started to break down during this fight. Because you have Locke just saying, blue team stand down, and they're like, they just kind of stand there, and then Chief comes in, and then they just kind of walk off into the Guardians. Like, if you're really that determined to get them to stop, why are you just kind of standing there? And then he has his little fist fight with Chief, and that was a little lackluster.
Yeah, this is like the height of their actual conflict in this mm-hmm. mission. And then after that, it's just like, no, there goes. The greatest hunted yeah. video gaming history ends in the fourth mission.
Yeah, after that, it's kind of meh. I mean, it's a decent fight scene. I've seen better.
Especially for a Halo, you would have expected more.
Yeah. The whole armor lock thing. Well, I mean, that's essentially what it is.
I know. It's just funny because it.
I knew it was. Yeah, I know. But.
There you go. There you go, Uni. Terrible joke Tuesday right there for you.
Yeah, there you go. The part I'm trying to figure out, okay, you have Chief and Locke battling it out on the floor. Where's the rest of Osiris?
They're just standing there.
On the ledge watching?
Yeah, they're just standing there.
I'm here for the show.
And the rest of Blue Team, they just kind of, okay, see you in a little bit, Chief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least they got orders. I mean, Locke didn't say anything to Osiris.
I mean, the best part of the whole fight scene is when Locke cracks Chief's visor and you get that stance from Chief that's like, no, you didn't.
Yep.
And then he just starts wailing on him.
Best part.
I just think there was a lot of opportunity they could have had to have like a really interesting dynamic or like gameplay decision with this.
Or story.
So the idea of two Spartans like chasing each other, you know, or fighting each other is like, you know, like we do it all the time in multiplayer, but when it comes to like having a story behind it, I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever played like Demon Souls or Dark Souls. I bring this up all the time, but there's a boss in Demon Souls that's you go in and you fight the boss and it's an AI boss most of the time, but every now and then it will match make another player who controls that boss. So how cool would it have been if they had that opportunity to like match make another player just every now and then, and you have like a 1v1, you know, Locke versus you, like you play Locke and someone else plays Chief, and you like 1v1 in an arena. Like you could beat it eventually, you know, like maybe they would only match make another player every now and then, and you know, so you could get past it if you need to. But it would just be such a cool dynamic, you know, like there's so many other decisions. That's just like a, you know, like off the cuff example, but yeah. I feel like there was so much opportunity there.
Do you guys wonder if they didn't have you actively, you know, in that fight or any of these cutscenes that felt like, you know, I should have been playing this? Do you think maybe they didn't do that due to Halo 4 feedback?
What, with QuickTime events?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think what we're looking for is something more than a QuickTime event.
Actual sandboxy gameplay.
Do you think it maybe this was like intended to be a quick time event?
Smarter AI.
But then they... I mean, I don't know. I just kind of feel like it was intended to be one way, but they ended up not going that way.
I mean, what I kind of expected was like a mini boss fight where I knew I was going to lose, but there's... Well, I knew I was going to lose, but...
Well, then people still would have been complaining that they're not Chief during the fight.
Right. Then maybe it's a random side.
That'd be cool.
You know, every time you play, it puts you on a random side of the fight.
I think from a storytelling perspective, they would make you be Locke in that situation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I would think. But this goes back to what they marketed for this game and what the game was. They're not the same thing.
No.
They marketed this epic battle between two Spartans, and it wasn't.
Nope.
And this was the first sign of it.
Yep.
It just, I knew that Locke was going to come to Chief's side ever since the very beginning of this. I knew that he was going to eventually come over to Chief's side, but you're like, what, four missions into the game six missions into the game, and he's already on Chief's side.
Yeah,
of course, we'll talk more about that next week. But
it's like the greatest mild disagreement in video game history.
Yeah.
I suppose that doesn't look very good on a billboard, though.
Yeah. It's really? Just the way they marketed it. And, you know, lots of people have said this. It was going to be, you know, this battle of two titans.
I mean, just look at the Hunt the Truth TV ads.
Mm-hmm.
Of them looking down on each other, about ready to kill each other. And yeah. You have something in the game that's just mediocre compared to that.
Yeah, I wanted to hold Locke at gunpoint while he's broken and beaten on the ground.
Like, there should have been half a mission dedicated to them fighting each other. That's how intense the whole Hunt the Truth thing seemed.
Or a warthog chase scene, you know? Come on.
Missed opportunity there, I think.
Yeah.
No, lost opportunity.
Or lost, sure. Anyways.
Also, the warden, I guess, is the first time you guys talked about the warden, but it's pretty effective the first time he comes up. Subsequent times, obviously, he sort of loses his luster. But this first time is pretty cool. He's a cool boss. It's just they recycle him too much, in my opinion.
Right.
Way too much.
And you got to actually learn some things about... I mean, he's definitely a better boss than... who is it in Halo 4?
Didact.
Yeah. He at least explained some things to you before he started, like, attacking you.
Mm-hmm.
Saying how that Cortana has called blue team instead of actually calling, like, the whole, like, granting passage and whatnot. They took that line from Swords of St. Helios and put it here, which I think was fine. So there's at least some dialogue there to set up who the warden is, why he was doing what he was doing. So that was all good. And for the whole boss battle thing, I mean, yeah, it did kind of get recycled, but I personally didn't mind that too much just from the sake of kind of understanding where the story's going. But I can definitely agree with it being recycled to a point where it did just kind of get a little overkill, especially at the end when you had to fight three of them.
I mean, it's a cool three concept, you know, like that he's this, you know, like pursuing unending entity, you know, that like he's going to hound you and you can't kill him. But
I wish they would have just saved him for like a big fight, or maybe just two fights, like one where you just push him away, don't kill him, but where he like bails.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Maybe it has some deeper meaning that we'll find in Halo 6. Him having multiple bodies, but he's basically just the same entity controlling these bodies.
That sounds like the next set of novels.
No, that's what they basically said. He's of one mind, right, but he has many bodies.
Right, but maybe that might foreshadow something that Cortana might end up using or doing.
You know, the whole three warden fight.
That was ridiculous.
That almost, well, that is kind of, you know, it's almost would been a good point to have Osiris kind of join up with blue team.
Like a sandbox, like, you know, six players versus three wardens or something like that.
Yeah.
I think from the storytelling perspective, though, it made sense to have it to where Osiris rescued blue team at the end.
But yeah,
it would have been interesting to like see Osiris rescue blue team and then fight warden. But at the same time, if warden is helping Cortana, then I don't know if he would be there after that. But anyways, we'll probably bring that up again once we actually get to that mission. That covers it for mission 5, though, I think, pretty much. So moving on to multiplayer, I think we covered all the game modes already, right? We already covered Warzone. Well, no, take it back. We haven't covered Warzone proper yet. We covered Warzone Assault, and then we covered CTF. And did we do Strongholds or Slayer? I can't remember.
We've done Strongholds.
Okay, I mean, Slayer's kind of a de facto, like, that's your normal. We'll probably touch on Breakout another time, because I honestly haven't touched Breakout since the launch of the game. Still waiting for squad, searching for team. So I wanted to kind of go ahead and touch on Plaza, because we haven't talked about Plaza too much yet, and it is going to be kind of the foundation for Overgrowth, which is a reimagining of Plaza. So I figured I'd go ahead and talk about that one for our little multiplayer segment. And I personally really like Plaza. I think it has enough kind of asymmetry to it to where you have a lot of different places of engagement. You have the sniper area, which gets some attention. You have the, what I consider like the actual plaza area, the one in the back corner where you have a lot of people going to. I think that has the Hydra in it, something like that. So going back there, you have a lot of foot traffic there, and then you have a lot of foot traffic in the back hallway that goes from the bottom staircase in that little middle roadway up to that back area for that plaza area. And there's a lot of traffic there. You get lots of different lines of sight. And overall, I think this map, out of probably most of the Halo 5 maps, if not all of them, I think this map is the one map that is the most, like the space that it has is the most utilized. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? Am I saying gibberish nonsense?
Oh, I understand. It has some interesting skill jumps. It has a lot of different verticality and skill jumps to it. There's a lot of, I mean, you can look up jump spots on that map, and there's a ton of them and a ton of flank routes. It feels very cluttered to me. There's a lot of like busyness going on in it. Mm-hmm. I don't mind it as a map. At high level, it can be really defensive, in my opinion. Yeah. Once people get sniper, and if they secure overshield, which is pretty easy if you have sniper. But it's a cool map, and it looks great. That neon city looks amazing, in my opinion.
It reminds me a little bit of ODST. Totally agree.
Reminds me of a mix of ODST and Turf.
Yeah.
Like if they just molded those two things together. Yep. And I've always loved urban maps. Like,
yeah, me too.
And human maps, especially because we have so many Covenant and, you know, Flood, or not Flood, Covenant and Promethean ones. But it's nice kind of having the human element, but I don't know what it is, but they just never seem to play great with the exception of Terminal.
There's too many cars in them.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Too many flipped over cars.
Where's the train?
There's no train.
Where's the train?
Oh. There's no train.
We need our trains.
The only real problem I have with it is the shrubbery.
Shrubbery?
Yeah, you know, like the trees. And
Oh, yeah. Like the
plant especially, trees. Yeah. They block a lot of lines of sight. That's the only real complaint. I see the map. The first thing that pops in my head is Blade Runner. But anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I like the way the map plays. It's pretty balanced throughout the map. I mean, the lower street area isn't played a lot. It's more people pass through it, but I don't see too many fights going on down there.
Just people getting cleaned up down there most of the time.
Yeah.
Do you guys prefer Strongholds or Slayer for this map?
Definitely Strongholds, because it just increases movement.
There's a fight for that bottom mid all the time.
Yeah.
Back plaza and bottom mid. Yeah.
Yeah. Slayer, maps are really tricky with Slayer, because you either get super campy maps, which are just no fun to play, especially when you kind of are playing at a more competitive style, not just a matchmaking rando. And this is one of those maps I don't think excels in Team Slayer.
Yeah, it can be slow because there's so many corners to check.
Yep.
There can be a lot of crouch walking and stuff like that. Like this map's grown on me. I know Chris Barton was saying that in chat. Like this map and the rig have both grown on me in a sense. At first they were my least favorite because in a way they're the least like classic Halo like of the new maps in my opinion. Like they're very vertical and there's a lot of like clamber spots and flank routes and stuff like that. But I do think this map's cool, and like I said, the aesthetics are incredible in it. So
I really enjoy playing SWAT on it.
I hated it at first, but now I really enjoy it.
Yeah,
for the little bit of Arena that I have played and the kind of customs leading up to the launch of the game, I would say for me, whenever you're actually in with people, like with a team, Plaza actually works really good for Slayer because you do have all those different lines of sights that you can engage people with, and there's a bunch of different pathways to different areas of the map. So I really like this for Slayer, and SWAT works really well. I haven't actually had many, I don't know if I've had any games of Strongholds actually on Plaza. Just goes to show how little Arena I've actually played.
I feel like there needs to be a power weapon that isn't the Hydra on the opposite side of the map of Sniper.
Well, Strongholds, there's a railgun instead of the overshield, and that thing's like, if you get a hold of that, it's insane.
That's top center. Like, that's not on the side of the map.
Oh, you're thinking besides like opposite Sniper side.
Yeah,
correct. Power weapon. I just don't know.
Like, definitely not a sniper due to the amount of cover you have over there. But
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe a shotgun or.
See, if it's rockets, no one's going to move out of there, I feel like. Because
yeah, exactly. That's why I'm wait for thinking like a shotgun or something. But
yeah.
Or I don't know. Because I know in Strongholds, they put a camo underneath where the sniper spawns.
Yeah, that's right. And by that little lift.
Yeah.
I didn't find that forever.
Oh, man.
it's so weird.
A couple times I was playing that, nobody knew where it was. And I had that thing timed, and oh man, I was just abusing it.
Yeah, yeah. That lift too, it's weird in this game. When you're going up lifts with an edge like that, you can hold down the clamber button as you're going up the lift, and you skip flying out of the lift, like you just do the animation straight out.
I clamber out of every lift.
Yeah,
every
single
one.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Okay.
Because you can also do it on the Coliseum lift.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of other lifts in the game, but you can do it on Truth on both sides. It definitely, especially when you're playing people that, you know, are just playing the game kind of casually, you can really throw them off with that.
It throws people for a loop, and they don't know what they're...
So as far as, and you kind of brought up an interesting point, Lurker, and the rig was actually, according to, I think they said this on the Sprint, but the rig was the map that they tested everything on, and it was the one in the studio that everyone really enjoyed. So it's interesting to hear that you didn't like the map originally, but now you've kind of, it's grown on you. For me, it's kind of having a little bit opposite effect, because I really enjoyed it starting out, but I've the more and more I'm playing, the more and more I'm like, maybe it wasn't as great as I thought it was. But I really love Plaza, and I don't know if it is because it's that like turf feel, and it has that kind of new vibe to it. And a lot of the maps in Halo 5 have this nice, vibrant color palette, and it just feels refreshing.
Yeah.
I think the maps that play the best are the ones that are made for Halo 5, you know, like, and I feel like these maps are very much made, like, catered for those kind of Spartan abilities. They don't really try, they just like want to hammer that point home, you know what I mean? So there's lots of like little perch ledges and clamber spots, and like I said, jump spots in both this and the rig that, learning them gives you such a heads up on people, you know, like it changes the game almost. Like there's so many little spots on this map and the rig.
Yeah. I just can't fall in love with the rig as much as I want to. It just doesn't work. Plaza has definitely grown on me.
Nice. Pin says his is still Eden. Which Eden is an okay map.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm kosher with Eden.
Feels like a lot of the space in Eden doesn't get used up as much.
Yes.
It feels like a lot of it just ends up being outside in that rocket area.
Right, and that's one of the reasons why I'm like, it's a nice map, but it just doesn't really feel like it's well utilized.
It's better for strongholds than Slayer, in my opinion, because of that. It forces you to move around the map more.
Well, and I wonder for some of these maps that do have that kind of, I hesitate to say problem, but it's kind of the word that appropriately describes it. If they change some of the spawns around and they change the power weapon placements, if that would actually help with some of the map flow in terms of actually getting people to go to certain areas or utilize different parts of the map.
I mean, some of them are just pretty large maps. I'm sure there'll be some changes to like placements and weapon placements and stuff like that to try to change that. I mean, in my opinion, like Quinn and the multiplayer team know what they're doing with their game. This is one of the best out of the box balanced sandboxes that I've seen in a long time from a Halo game. I think it's like it's a really strong like multiplayer experience, and I think they play tested the crap out of all of these like maps and settings. But you know, things change once a game gets out in the wild, so I think they'll find some ways to kind of tweak things.
Yeah. So I think there's not much else to say really about Plaza, but I personally like it. It's one of my favorite maps of Halo 5, and I'm really interested to see what's going to be done with Overgrowth. I really liked Ghost Town, and it has the same kind of color palette and atmosphere as Ghost Town. So I have a feeling I'm going to really like Overgrowth for me personally. So discussion topic, and I know we're running a little bit long, but there's, again, we've had some chats within our staff chat lately with some controversial stuff. So it kind of makes for some good discussion, but just kind of want to bring them out here in the podcast forum to kind of give you guys a glimpse of what we've talked about. But one of the things that has come up recently is, especially with the new update coming out with Forge and them actually releasing social, is the focus on content within Halo 5, because there's definitely a lot of push behind the rec system, because we've managed to raise $1 million just through rec for the Halo World Championship Series or not championship series, isn't poker. The Halo World Championship, and that was before the HCS Limited rec pack. So we don't even know how much money has been raised through that and how much money has gone to the pot because of that. I would say we're probably going to see a $2.5 million prize pot, in which case the first place team is walking away with $1 million, which is an insane amount of money. Too bad I'm not that good at Halo. I probably wouldn't be doing the podcast if I was. But so one of the other things that has been brought up with, and this is kind of what I really want to focus on as our kind of topic of discussion tonight, and hopefully we won't go too long for you guys listening. But with the focus on, or it seems like the focus from 343 has been mostly on rec and having that kind of quick buy, quick money system. And a lot of people have really compared that to lack of content of actual in-game like DLC content. So maps, the social, Forge. And a lot of people have seen that as, well, they focused on this rec system instead of focusing on core features of what should have been in Halo. And I was talking, I think this was in our staff chat, but one of the things that I think people don't quite realize is that within the Halo 5 development team, you have a bunch of different teams working on different aspects. So just because there's more focus on rec doesn't mean that they could have committed that time of certain people spending time on rec to focusing on Forge or multiplayer or whatnot. The only way they could have done that is whether or not they hired people into spots for Forge or multiplayer or whatever that they would have hired in to work on the rec system, which I don't know how big the team working on the rec system was, if it was just a multiplayer team or if it was maybe a team of two or so. But judging on kind of how like the little experience that I've done with like programming and project management and whatnot, the multiplayer side of it, which is kind of where, and I know we've had our discussions about, like, at least for the big team maps, where we want natively built big team maps for Halo 5, not Forge stuff. But making maps in Halo is probably, if you're on that team, you are probably working your butts off. At least from when it comes to the multiplayer's perspective, they are probably the busiest team working to get that functionality going. Like making multiplayer maps to where they actually fits with the sandbox, with the game mechanics, that has got to be a pain in the butt. So,
yeah,
with kind of keeping that in mind, do you guys think that the rec system and 343's focus on the rec system, even today, even with them coming out with these promotional rec packs, which that's something else I forgot to mention, by the way, there's a Christmas rec pack that they released yesterday on 343 Day. So there's a promotional pack. If you log into Halo or if you go to Halo Waypoint where you open it, you get a Santa Claus emblem and Santa Claus...
It was a candy cane one.
Yeah, so... Yeah, right. Two different emblems. They're legendaries. So do you think that the focus on rec system is detracting from them actually focusing on content that the community wants, like the social, Forge, actually made maps? Or do you think that that's, even with them focusing on that, it really wouldn't affect the outcome of Halo having those features in there?
So I've been thinking about the rec system a lot. And in my opinion, like, if I were a businessman running this franchise or running, you know, like as a part of Microsoft, this is probably the smartest business decision they've made as far as the franchise goes. I think they realized that Halo is more of a niche franchise now. It's not the number one multiplayer shooter. You know, it's a console specific multiplayer shooter, but they know that they have hardcore fans that are invested in their game and have been for years and years and years. You know, their kid, you know, like those fans' kids are invested in this game. So their idea was, I think, not to try to outsell some of those multi-plat huge franchises out there, but to have the players of Halo who are invested in it already to invest in it even more, you know, like to get rec pack money from them to, you know, like make their money in different ways rather than just trying to sell raw copies and outsell another larger franchise. If you don't know who, you know, like I'm talking about COD and Destiny and games like that. So it was obviously successful, you know, like, rec packs are selling like hotcakes, you know, like they've made millions of dollars already. And the game hasn't even been out for very long. So those fans that are hardcore are, you know, reinvesting in the game with rec packs. The thing is, like you said, I feel like Halo 5 is content light. I think anybody would agree that in a sense it's content light. And a lot of those peripheral communities that are invested in the game and are probably buying rec packs because they love the game and they, you know, they want their favorite armor or they want their favorite emblem are in a sense being left out to dry because there's no Griftball, there's no Forge, there's no, like, so many of those peripheral communities that make up the larger Halo community are kind of getting left out in the cold. And just told soon, it'll be coming eventually, which I believe it will. Like, the last several Halo games that have come out have had traditionally just better, they just like aged like a fine wine, you know what I mean? Like, they start out fairly thin. Like, Halo 4 didn't have the greatest map selection at launch, but it got better and settings got better and everything. I believe Halo 5 is going to have all of those things. I just think that at that cost, it's costing a lot of those peripheral communities quite a bit, in my opinion.
I was going to say it. A lot of it depends on how much of, you know, what percentage of the 343 staff is actually working on rec packs.
And I honestly don't think it's that many.
You know, if it's two or three people, I don't think they could contribute enough extra work to fill this content gap everybody feels there is.
I think there's a lot of, like, rec packs are, there's a lot of research that went into making the rec system. It wasn't something they just threw together. I did a video about this, but there's a lot of, like, research I'm sure they did about, like, consumer cues and, like, psychological, you know, like, stimulus cues. Because, I mean, when you get a rec pack and you open it and it has that grunt, you know, party sound and all the cards pop up and everything like that, like, all of that is very, like, psychology based, you know, like when you hear that sound and you get your rec packs and you get that delivery, it sort of creates that, you know, that feedback loop. So I think it was very well researched and I think it was very well put together to make people.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely well put together.
Yeah, I don't think it took like two or three people to do.
Yeah, the research of it is something that's not in the actual developer's hands, the people that actually build the game. You know, that is done by, you know, market research. I mean, yes, they have people that are actually designing the weapons, the armor, the stuff like that. But that is more of just making something that's pleasing when you come to the, you know, the armor and the emblems and stuff like that. And a lot of the emblems are just duplicated from the previous games. Same with the armor. They're duplicated from previous games and given just a little bit of a new shine on them for Halo 5. The weapons, they take a little bit more work because you have to, you know, balance the damage numbers and all that so that it works the way you want it to. I do think that they should have put more into shipping the game complete.
I mean,
instead of the rec system. The game really should have launched with all its game types and Forge.
At the end of the day, it's still a game. Like, its popularity is based on the fact that it's a game. You know what I mean? And Halo 5, I wouldn't classify as a game that stacks up content-wise to past Halo games.
No. If the game had shipped complete with all the game types in it and Forge, the content gap wouldn't be as noticeable because you would have people creating custom games, mini games, doing custom Forge maps, stuff like that, to where if people got bored with online, they could get together with their friends and they could play custom games. Now, right now, yeah, you can get together and play custom games, but you can only really play the same games as you do online with different settings. You know, there's no real true mini games in there yet. I just, you know, if it had shipped completed, I don't think the issue of content gap would have been there.
Yep. I mean, and then again, like those peripheral communities, like I'm talking about, like, you know, like your Griffball and your Forgers and even YouTubers, without a file share, YouTubers can't do, you know, like the guys that do gameplay reviews can't do gameplay reviews because they don't have a file share to get gameplay from other people. A lot of people can't do a lot of the things they base their channels off of, you know, like all of these things are things that feed back into the community and make it better. And it, those things just coming soon. And who even knows if the file share that's coming in this update, it's supposedly just a, like a basic style file share, you know?
Yeah. The, I really hope that they do a good job on the file share and do more than just a simple browser. The one thing that absolutely just totally frustrated me is when they did the update on the website and all the file share disappeared. Well, the share's still there, but you couldn't go on the website and browse game types and stuff. It is extremely irritating to have to do that in game because you have limited options.
And then also just UI, like there's so many things that past Halo games did well that Halo 5 for some reason like left out or did differently, like just like the post game screens and the UI and like the party roster screens, like all of those things feel very, they don't feel as intuitive as past Halo games, in my opinion. Like you can't even look at medals in your post game screen.
Yeah.
Like those things are important, you know, like those things are important to Halo players.
What really makes it hard for me is you see these things, these concepts and these pre-developed, you know, pre-release things that, it was there. Like what decision or what made you need to cut that, you know, or whose idea was it to cut that?
Yeah.
They're little things, but they're cool things that have been really staples in Halo. I mean, in Halo 2 was the most simplified medal viewer you could have. It just showed like the medal. It didn't show how many you got in your post game stat line. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of frustrating, really.
I mean, I liked Halo 3's. You could pull up the stats. You could see how many of each medal you got, what medals you got, your weapon of choice, all the real pertinent information that most gamers want to know at the end of a match. You know, who killed me the most? Who did I kill the most? They gave you a nice breakdown of what you did in the match.
And yet the rec system is like polished to a sheen. You know what I mean? Like it's like you could ice skate on how good the rec system works and how like
intuitive flawless it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everything, you know, everything else you trip over.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I'm glad they did such a good job on the rec system, but I wish they would have focused that hard on the rest of the game, you know, on the UI and really.
Well, and that's what a lot of people are really complaining about, because there is that lack of, I mean, a lot of people were saying that it needs social, it needs some of these other like core features. Forge wasn't included which was planned to be there apparently, but it just didn't make it in time for the game. And that kind of brings up another question. Would it have been something where should the game have been delayed, even though I'm pretty sure Microsoft wouldn't allow it to be delayed?
Not a chance.
Should the game have been delayed before these features were in place, or do you just get it out there for people to actually start playing and enjoying the game while they work on getting the rest of it through? Because that's really two different.
Well, I think we're kind of just starting to see more and more why some PC games, like on Steam, and now they're even doing it on Xbox, where you can purchase a game knowing it's not completed, right? And then it's slowly, they update it, they keep adding more and more and more. But I feel like we're seeing this more and more on console, that don't worry, you're going to get your complete game, it's just not here yet. And to me, that's just unacceptable.
Well, this is being sold as a full product.
Exactly. You know? That's why I think it's unacceptable, because it really isn't a full product when you have more and more features, and especially features that are staples in your franchise coming. I think that's where I just really get kind of bitter about how this has come out.
The patch it later mentality, it's really, really rough in AAA games. It's really rough, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah, they need to get away from that.
Just get it out and patch it later.
Well, the only way they're going to get away from that is don't use your wallet. And just the masses, just they don't really use their wallet.
Well, that's the thing, though. We were talking about that in one of our private chats. Like using your wallet, it's like it sounds like a, you know, like, yeah, like, you know, that's the bottom line for most corporations is how much money they're getting when people buy their games. But when it comes down to it, being the dude that doesn't buy one of the games from your favorite franchise, you know, like that doesn't do that, it's really more difficult, in my opinion, than most people make it out to be.
Yep. Especially when all your friends are still getting it.
And I even said it, like, you can't say that they didn't really say what they were putting or not putting into the game. You know, they gave us a heads up that Forge wasn't going to put in. They gave us a heads up that BTB wasn't going to put in until later. And that, and I tweeted out a couple months before Halo 5 came out, and I was like, yo, I don't know if I'm going to buy it at launch. It doesn't feel very finished. And I hype got to me. A lot of my friends talked me into it, and I ended up buying it. And no one could say that I didn't know better. But at the same time, like, it's, like I said, it's hard to pass up buying an entry into your favorite series that only comes around once every few years. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing that gets me with the Forge deal and the big team, I can kind of forgive that one. But the Forge deal is they tell us 2 months out, you know, 2 months before the game release that it's not going to ship with Forge.
Yeah. And pre-orders.
Now, if they told us 6-8 months before, I'd probably be a little bit more forgiving, but they shipped an incomplete game. You know, Big Team Battle, yes, it's part of the game, but it is a game type. Okay? It's not like a part of the game like Forge is. It's not like leaving out campaign. Mm-hmm. So I can see how, you know, they kind of wanted to show off their new 4v4 arena and, you know, kind of get some feedback on that to see what they like, you know, see what the community liked. And if they nailed it, which that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But to ship the game without a large chunk of it, which Forge is a large chunk of Halo, it just, I would honestly probably would have rather them delay the game.
I would. I'll take a delay anytime to have a featured game.
As much as it would pay me to wait the extra month or month and a half to get it, I almost think they'd be better off delaying it.
I would have taken a year delay to have a better campaign, to have more game modes and arena, and to have more maps in Warzone.
I really wonder if down the road we're going to find out this campaign had to be cut short.
I mean, it feels like this is going to sound, I don't know, this may get me thrown out of the call, but it feels like it went through some of those significant rewriting style things that Destiny went through. You know, it feels very clipped together. It feels very like it was saved from the cutting room floor at some point.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. And it's really weird. A lot of the things a lot of people hate on Destiny seem to have kind of trickled over into Halo.
You said it, not me, man.
I don't want to say it, but it really... it's there.
That RNG drip feed content that comes later in the game's lifespan.
Don't worry, it's coming. We hear you.
Yeah, poorly written or scrap story. All those things are things that Destiny's pretty much hallmarked as being Destiny's biggest downfalls.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the reason that I, you know, once I went through the content that I paid for, I just stepped away from it. It's that game is not for me worth putting any more money in. And I don't want Halo to come to that type of system where I have to pay extra money to get the story I want out of a game that I purchased. You know, it's one thing to buy additional story like in books or comics, stuff like that. But to have to pay extra for the story that should have been in the game to begin with is not something I want to see Halo start doing. I enjoyed the campaign. It's got some very interesting plot twists, stuff that I did not see coming. but it wasn't as advertised. It wasn't even close. It was barely even close to being as advertised. To me, it kind of feels like they got done with the campaign. They wrote all the promotional stuff and then decided, well, we're going to do something different with the campaign. It
sucks to see, really, because for at least from a multiplayer perspective, Halo 5 kind of nails it from the aspect of nailing that replayability factor for multiplayer, which is definitely one of those cornerstones of Halo. I mean, it is one of the original cornerstones of Halo because you had multiplayer and you had campaign. That's really kind of the two cruxes of multiplayer. And you had customs, which customs was kind of lacking in game type, so you kind of had that out there. So to say that it's in one aspect, you say Forge is a core component of Halo just because it's been there since Halo 3. But then again, it's not like if you look at the core of Halo is campaign, multiplayer, and customs. That's really the core of Halo. And from the multiplayer perspective, like the functionality, the abilities, the even plays, the even starts, they nailed that for Halo 5. They actually did a really good job of bringing that back. But it's all these extra miscellaneous things, which the community overall has really come to know and love in Halo, that they just dropped the ball on.
Oh, yeah. It's like the campaign theater.
Yeah.
You know, that has, up until 343 took over, it was always there. And you can't tell me people didn't use campaign theater, because I used to see videos all the time out of campaign. Mm-hmm. They go in, they clear all the enemies out of a certain area, and then they would shoot their little machinima.
Very true, yeah.
And I can't think that it is that much time-saving or space-saving to delete it. Of course, I'm not a programmer by any means, but the functionality is there. It's already in the code of the game.
They took it out of 4, and people got into the code and was able to turn it on in 4. So mm-hmm. I can't imagine that it would have been something that, I don't know. I think it could have been done. Now, solo campaign theater, since it's not dedicated servers, that I maybe understand that. But co-op, that's all run on dedicated servers, so I don't know.
There's, if it works for arena or online play, why doesn't it work for campaign? There isn't. I can't see a good explanation. Then again, I'm not, like I said, I'm not a programmer, but there, it's little stuff like that that really a lot of people are hard on Halo 5 for. Overall, I will tell you right now, it so far has been as far as multiplayer, it's my most favorite game, because I'm actually positive. no, seriously, it started with Halo 4. I enjoyed Halo 4's the gameplay, the whole ordnance system. Yeah, I had some problems with that too, but the actual gameplay, I loved it. And Halo 5 just makes it even better. You guys said, they nailed the multiplayer. There were some issues like no Forge and no big team, but they did a great job on the multiplayer. Since the game launched, I have only played one game where I've had a significant problem with lag, and that was in Warzone. Of course, I was playing with our favorite Welshman. So, I was connected to him, so I was playing people from across the pond. So I can see where I was having, where I would have a lag issue. Go ahead.
The thing is, there's that idea of, of just a core shooter doesn't cut it anymore in most people's idea of a multiplayer game. So the people that are just giving Halo a try or something like that, they come in, they see that it's got a campaign that's been in pretty standard by shooter campaign standards. It's got multiplayer with a ranking system, and they're like, all right, that's pretty cool, but pretty standard multiplayer with some light content when it comes to modes. And then Warzone, which, fairly decent new addition, but it's only got 2 maps. So people can play that, or, like a game comes out like Call of Duty Black Ops 3, and it's got a full zombies campaign on top of a normal campaign, on top of a theater mode, on top of spectator mode. It's got ranked social split at launch. Like, it's got all of these features, like these fully, you know, features in the box, ready to go out of the box. It may, you know, it may not have gameplay that you agree with or that you like, but those features go a long way towards building communities and keeping them vibrant, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Now, to kind of, I guess, wrap this up, because it's kind of getting late, do you think that with all the content coming out, like, we are getting all the DLC, all the maps for free, which we've had, we'll have two maps out of 18 that they've promised so far. So off to a slow start there. Do you think that this is too little too late for people? Because I know I've heard a lot of murmurs of people dropping off of Halo, and one person who's been a supporter of Podtacula for a long time, and someone I've gotten to know pretty well, Gagnon, he said like it was not even a month before he had enough of Halo 5, just because some of the stuff that he wanted in the game, a lot of stuff that he was expecting wasn't there. So is this too little too late to actually be introducing Forge and social? Because I know talking with you, Haas, we were kind of discussing this before Halo launched, of like, hopefully all the content that comes with the game is enough to hold people until we get Forge and get some of the other game modes that people are wanting. But it's starting to seem like people are already starting to fall off the bandwagon to where this might be too late.
I think we're going to see a resurgence right around Christmas. You're going to get, we're getting Forge. The
Christmas buys,
and yeah, exactly. You know, I showed you on Amazon, it was the number one selling game that Black Friday weekend. So yeah, I'm really, that it is crazy. And part of that, I think a lot of people were rightfully skeptical of another Halo release coming out broken. So let's wait and see what's coming out. And now that, you know, overall, I think Halo 5 has been really positively received outside of the campaign blemishes and, you know, the lack of playlists, but the game is fun to play. So I think we're going to see maybe this like second wind. And all I can really hope is that second wind is met positively by these new players and or these returning players, however we want to look at them. Hopefully they're just their expectations are met. And my fear, you know, if you got to be honest, your fear is it's not going to be met when, just like Lurker said, you see games like Black Ops 3. I'm not a Call of Duty player, but man, am I jealous of their community right now. Two campaigns that are really, really popular, and gameplay that, say what you will about Call of Duty, their gameplay is loved. And it works each year. Sometimes it's worse than others, but it's still working and well-received. And I just fear people may just go to what's familiar. And Halo 5 isn't a familiar Halo.
Yeah, it's got enough that's different that some hardcore Halo players feel a little put off by it, and it's got enough that's also different that your casual COD shooter isn't going to be as comfortable with it. I think that the past has shown with Halo releases that it can be very hard to gain back those fans that they may have lost off of a release. We saw those deep population dips with Reach and Halo 4, and Reach was even fully featured. So to have features come back and to have this big update in December, and maybe, you know, like you said, a lot of people buy it during Christmas. That's my hope, is that a bunch of people get on it. But like I said, it's difficult to gain back once you've lost some of that initial momentum.
I agree with, there will be a resurgence of people in the game, but I think for a lot of people, it was kind of the last straw. They bought a game that was incomplete. They gave it a chance, knowing that the rest of it was coming, but there just wasn't enough there to keep them entertained.
Yeah, and you got to think, some people look at incomplete and broken as the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a good point.
Every game eventually goes through this, but it seems like Halo all of a sudden is doing this 2 months after launch, and it shouldn't be.
They can't shake this routine that we've starting to become accustomed to.
I mean, you know, Halo 3, I was playing daily up until Reach launched.
Yep.
A lot of people still play it. A lot of people have been playing that game for, you know, almost a decade.
Same for ODST. I wouldn't play it daily, but I still play it several times a week.
I played Halo 2, Halo 1, Halo 2, and Halo 3, all up until their following games. And then I can safely say since Reach, it's just slowly dwindled. And I don't know if that's market saturation and more franchises as I kind of get older and I'm starting to, you know, your interests change as you get older. But I haven't felt the draw to go. And I think a lot of that for me is social, because once your friends stop playing on a multiplayer focused game like Halo 5 is,
mm-hmm.
why would you want to play it alone?
I mean, I pretty much, Halo is really the only shooter that I play. The only reason I bought Destiny is because it was Bungie. But as far as shooters, Halo is it.
That was still a hard buy for me.
Well, I put faith in the developer because of Halo. And after playing the beta, I questioned what I was getting myself into, but I decided that I would go ahead and buy the game because I did have fun playing the game. But there's just, I hope that people will give Halo 5 a chance or a second chance, because it really is a good game. I guess we'll find out here in a couple of weeks.
Guess so. Yep. See what happens at Christmas. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Thanks for listening to us drone on for a while. We got to talk about a lot of the stuff with the wreck, with the upcoming update, the cartographer's gift, which is cool. And then Lurker, thanks for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure having you on.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You want to plug any sites, Twitter, YouTube, any kind of that stuff before we head on out?
Oh, yeah, it's youtube.com/TheLurkerZero. And then Twitter is just Twitter at LurkerZero. And I'm on Twitter all the time. You guys probably know because you guys follow me. And I'm always saying something about.
Yep.
So I'm always saying something about something, man. So, thanks for having me on again. I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure, man. So make sure you go check him out. Make sure you check us out on all of our social networks. We have a bunch of different places that we reside on the internet. Twitter is basically our big one. So if you follow us on Twitter, then you get all of our updates as far as news posts or quick little one-off stuff. Like we saw the cheap limited collector edition, which again, you guys should go get if you're interested in it. Then we post up there. That's kind of the stuff that the place where we post a lot of the turnaround stuff. So we'll post news and stuff up there before we actually have a chance to write our news articles. So make sure you check those out there. And again, I kind of glossed over this, so in case you missed it, make sure you pick up the holiday rec pack that has been provided from 343. I don't know how long it's going to be there. I think it might be something where it might just be there waiting for you. I know for the Thanksgiving one, you actually had to log in and claim it or else you didn't get it. So I don't know if this is going to be one of those similar situations, but it's easiest just to go ahead and log on Halo to get it. Or if you're not by a console, then you can just go on to Halo Waypoint, go to your service record, go to Halo 5, go to the recs, and then you can open your unopened rec packs there. And you can do that. Make sure you check us out on our other social platforms. We're also on Facebook. We are on Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch. We do our podcast live on Twitch every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 6 p.m. Pacific. We also have a few different game nights that we stream. Primarily, it's our Friday game nights, our Fraggin' Fridays, hosted by Godzilla T. And we're going to be doing some more community events with our Spartan company. So if you are a part of that, then once the update drops, we're going to be focusing heavily on doing Tactical Tuesday, which will be our arena-based matchmaking nights or custom nights, depending on how many people that we get. And then Warzone Wednesdays, which we've actually been doing events for in the past, but we took a little bit of time off because of Thanksgiving and going into the holiday season. So that's going to be hopefully spun back up next week after the update drops, hoping that it drops on the 15th. So if you're not part of the company, you can head on over to podtacular.com/company, and that will redirect you to the Waypoint company. You can request to enlist, and we still have slots available. I think we're up to 62 members right now, so make sure you head on over there and request to enlist, and we'll get you guys added to our Spartan company. Our Friday event is open to pretty much everyone. Our Tuesday, Wednesday events are pretty much exclusive to our Spartan company. So if you want to play with us for those events specifically, then you'll want to join up on our company. Depending on whether or not they actually expand the Spartan Company functionality to where we can actually do clan matches and stuff, that's kind of one of the things that we would like to do with our Tactical Tuesday, is actually start to build a team that would be representative of Podtackler. So if there's ever a time that we do a clan match, like if that's something that comes down the pipeline, like if something like that functionality from Halo 2 comes back into being, if you're listening, please do this, then we want to have a team that would be representative of Podtackler that can go and kick some Spartan butt, basically. So if you are skilled in that manner, then please try to attend the Tactical Tuesdays, and we'll have tryouts at some point down the road for officially getting a representative clan team together. So that'll probably be in the January timeframe, though, if and when we get to that. So make sure you check that out. Like I said before, we finished our series for all of the Intel locations. So all those guides are up, all 15 of them. So if you haven't had a chance to go check them out, then head on over to our YouTube, podtackler.com/YouTube, and check those out and let us know what you think. I still have a Skull guide coming, I have a Legendary Weapons guide coming, and I have a video from the Operation Supply Drop stream that I did a couple weeks ago when I opened up $100 worth of rec packs that I'm still editing. Hopefully that'll be up before Christmas. It's really not that hard of an edit. I just need to actually get into Premiere, match up the audio and the video, and export it. So it just needs to take time to actually do that. So make sure you check that out. And then make sure you check out our podcast network. We are part of a group of gaming-specific podcasts, which include podcasts like Guardian Radio, Critzcast, The Learning Cliff, and then a few other ones like Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. So head on over to podka.st. to check them out. If you're looking for some podcasts to help pass the time with, or if you're interested in any one of the games that they cover, they are really good podcasts. They're very well produced, and I highly recommend you check them out. Let them know that we sent you. That will wrap it up for us tonight. Thank you for listening to us once again. We'll be back again next week, and that might be our last one of the year. So hope to see you there if you're in the live stream. If not, hope to see you download this. And we will talk to you then. Again, thank you, Lurker, for being on the show. It has been a pleasure. Hopefully we can have you on in the future. And for everyone listening, keep on fragging cartographers.